Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummer Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with a new appointed to the board, First Nations Art Board, and that's the KIFC, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair CEO, and that's Dennis Stokes. We have Dennis on the line. Dennis, very good morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm good, and good morning to you, Trev.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Born and bred in Darwin, and, right across the NT, and... My mob is Stokes family from Central Australia, Warramunga and Lurcha, and my mother's Waraman and Wagam Ahmat family from Bari on Mabiog Island.
Okay, Torres Strait connection as well. Fantastic. Big shout out to all your mob. And congratulations in your new appointment for First Nations Art and being a First Nations board. Let's quickly talk about your reigns with KIAF, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair. We just finished closing that up for this year. How'd you enjoy that journey, my brother?
Yeah, it was an interesting journey. Here goes my dog.
Thank you, that's right.
Hey, you know, it was fun working from home. It was a very interesting journey. I came in 3 months before the event happened, so... You know, a lot happened before I got there, which is good. It was a good event. The team worked very hard in making sure that it kicked off. It's a very dedicated team at KIAF.
Yep, fantastic. Hats off to the team there at KIAF. And in regard to the First Nation board, how did this come about? Do you nominate yourself, or were you nominated, or how does the process work?
Yeah, look, it was an EOI process, so if you thought you were qualified to be on there, you had to write in a 500-word just EOI,
okay.
And just lay out how you thought you could contribute to the board and what your work experience and experience in the arts has been. I've been around for 25 years, so I put quite a bit in there,
yes.
And that was the process, and then the government. The actual Minister of the Arts, Tony Burke's office, went through all the applications and decided they did a shortlist, and then that went before Parliament and was approved.
And look, there's 10 appointees. I'll mention some of them. Rachel Mazza, AM, Philip Watkins, Clint Bracknell, Pauline Clogue, Jeanette James, Deborah Mailman, Daniel Riley, Rhoda Roberts, AO, yourself and Jared Thomas. So there's some deadly people at the table there, my brother.
Yeah, look, it's very good. It's a good board because it goes right across the every art form there. And from Deborah's an actor, Jared and myself, we come from that administrative side of the arts. I think there is a really good mixture of people there, and everyone has worked, I guess, with each other over the years. And I think. The experience and the historical knowledge that everybody has in that board will work well towards, doing what we need to be doing in the art sector.
Well, exactly. And when we talk about our art, which is a very powerful vehicle in regard to our culture and promoting our culture, but also a space for our black people to be entrepreneurs and be business people. First Nation Arts, this is the first of its kind, but this should happen yonks ago, my brother.
Yeah, I think it's been I think the idea has been about for a while, but it's just been how do we get this moving, and what's the purpose of the board too? And I guess that's what we'll sit down and nut out when we first meet in November, which is the first meeting. It's been a long time coming, and I'm glad it's got up, and that's why I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, congratulations, my brother. And so, what does that entail? I mean, Are we talking about travelling down to Sydney for board meetings? Or I mean, we've got FaceTime, all the technology. And have we had our first meeting yet, Dennis?
No, that'll happen in November. Okay. That'll be the first meeting. Everyone will come face-to-face in Sydney in the Creative Australia offices.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, they will be having meetings online, but they'll also, as much as we can, meet up in person would be great.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, it's a beautiful vehicle that you might be about to drive and drive into the future. Inaugural kickoff, but look, thank you for sharing. Once again, congratulations on your appointment, and also congratulations being the CEO of CIAF, and looking forward for that space again next year in July, my brother.
No worries. Thank you very much, Trev.
You take care, Dennis. We'll talk soon, brother.
No worries. Talk soon. Well,
a deadly yarn there. Dennis Stokes, appointed to new First Nations board with First Nations Art, and he's the CEO, a new kid on the block with CIAF, coming from Darwin and holding the reins, like I said, 3 months before CIAF kicked off this year in July. So look, fantastic, and wearing a couple of more hats there. That's what it's all about, expanding and bringing your knowledge to the table. So a big shout out to the new First Nations Arts, and it's great to have so much deadly people on board this vehicle and driving it into the future. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation here, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dindi country. That's BBM, Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Too deadly.
Money can't buy. is to the spirit that never dies. Is to the spirit that never ever dies. Every soul town won't be the same, even though still here hiding in the heat and the haze. Miss you, brother, all our days. Miss you, brother, all our days.
Spear up!
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Yenda Banapi Bamanda, Yenda Bakatanda Bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM. BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Delhi program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying, Yan up strong, you mob, to Delhi. Now, rapping for well-being, new youth hip-hop video launched. And with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Judith Lovegrove. And she's from Menzies Mental Health, Teams Indigenous Governance and Engagement Lead, and talk about this fantastic opportunity, this space, this vehicle we're using to engage with our young ones out there. We have Judith online. Judith, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, and good morning to you as well.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And the old saying, by any means necessary, let's engage with our youth. And if music, if rapping is the tool or vehicle we're using, then look, so be it. Fantastic. So tell us about this this launch of this new hip-hop video, please, sister.
Yeah, look, I guess it's hard to talk about the actual project without going into detail about the background. So just in short, there's a long history of Northern Territory-based program called Aboriginal Islander Mental Health Initiative, which has been led by a psychiatrist, Professor Tricia Nagel, who's my current line manager. Tricia spent a lot of years working in mental health with community, primarily in the top end, and engaging with mob to understand what their understanding is of mental health and to try and get, increasing mental health literacy and getting mob engaged in, shaping the way that assessment and treatment should be looking for mob when they present in, mainly in acute mental health settings, but also, you know, well-being tools that have been developed over the years. So we've had First Nations mob that have been co-designing our mental health care planning tools and a lot of different resources over the years, to the point where it's kind of transitioned to a digital version, and we've got an app that we actually use called Stay Strong. And in the last few years, we've also had a youth version that's been developed called Aim High Why, which is the Aboriginal Islander Health Mental Health Initiative for Youth. And we're currently going through a review of our, firstly, our website, but we're also redesigning our app. So we've got a bit of a journey for workers, or it could be practitioners being able to support clients with the app, and also the youth user journey as well throughout the app. And we're looking at an opportunity to be able to engage. And, you know, the whole history of the program is really about capturing those voices of our mob and making sure that they feel heard, and you know, interpreting what keeps them strong. So this project led to us engaging Tristan Watkins. He's also known as Carnage. He's been a rapper and a producer in Alice Springs, Utterna Man, done a lot of work over the years.
True, deadly.
So we
a big shout out, Carnage. Well, fantastic. So local man there, you know, local boy, and there it is, using his skills and his popularity, so to speak. That in itself is a great ingredient, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And when we talk about the app there, Judith, the app is available now?
Yes, look, the app is downloadable through the Play Store or what's the other one? Play Store and the iPad one? App Store, the App Store.
App Store,
You could download the app, Stay Strong, but there's also the Aim High for youth as well. The youth one is kind of a self-care assessment tool. They can kind of engage on it on their phone themselves, whereas the other one, the Stay Strong one, is really about how a practitioner or a worker can support someone around, developing goals, talking about what keeps them strong, also looking at what takes their strengths away.
Yes.
And it uses a visual tool to kind of see, like a metaphor of a tree that, you know, when we do things that are bad for us, the tree kind of weakens and those sorts of things. So very kind of empowering, self-determining tool.
And it's visual as well, is what I'm picking up, Judith.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And this all comes down to the foundation of how the tools were developed. Our mob said we want more pictures, we want less words when we talk about mental health. You know, we want bright colours and, you know, things that kind of represent, you know, who our mob is and those sorts of things. So, I would say, simple but very effective. We've got feasibility and acceptance studies over the years with random control trials that shows that there is a significant improvement in well-being when people monitor themselves through the use of these apps. So,
Well, fantastic. I mean, it's hard sometimes as we travel through life. That's, everybody, young and old, you know, black or white, what have you. Sometimes we cannot see the rainforest. The trees are in the way, so to speak.
That's
but this
right.
just opens our eyes and an opportunity to look up. And tomorrow is another day, and it's a clean slate, and we can design our life how we see fit. So we need the tools to educate and direct us and guide us, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love it.
And I think that the basis of this work really is about how we can showcase, you know, young mob, giving them an opportunity to share their thoughts and also drawing on what they know and their strength and resilience too, you know?
Fantastic. And so the people can see the video, Keep Me Strong, hip-hop video, via YouTube,
That's
is
right.
that right?
That's right, yep.
Good, fantastic. So there it is, Mob. Do check it out. Keep Me Strong, hip-hop video, and also the don't forget the app, and that's Aim High. Why is it Aim High for youth?
Yep, yep.
Fantastic.
That is A-I-M-H-I-Y, Aim High Y,
yes.
And also Stay Strong.
Stay strong. Beautiful. Well, thank you very much for sharing, Judith. All the best to your mob there, your team there. Keep doing what you're doing, and stay in touch, sister.
Deadly, no worries. Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
No worries, bye.
Deadly Yarn there, Judith Lovegrove, her name is. Menzies Mental Health Team's Indigenous Governance and Engagement Lead, and talking about the new app, Rapping for Wellbeing, new youth hip-hop video launch. So do check it out online YouTube. Keep Me Strong hip-hop video, so do check that out. And also look at the app, which is Aim High Y. So there it is. So get engaged and do what you need to do to protect yourself and guide yourself. And looking for someone to reach out to you, having problems doing that, then have a look at videos like this, for example. Check out the app and another tool that you can go through and suss it out and get educated yourself. And it talks to you and you can sort of take on board the words and guide you and opens your eyes and your heart to your future, because you do have a deadly future, you mob, too deadly. Have you seen Yanaf Song? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country as BB and Bumbleboot Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News National News Radio Service. National Talk Black, Yanaf Song, you mob, too deadly.
gotta show them, gotta teach them, so they know now.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community, and we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Foster and Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperen on 40801080 to learn more. Thinking about your body next to mine, oh, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, you love, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
what you done, your mom, it's me, Bushtaka Bungee, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live on First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Israeli Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob? Too deadly. All right, now doctors urge parents to be vigilant with increasing invasive meningococcal disease, infectious, expected early spring. Look, with this, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Karen Quick, who's CEO of Meningitis Centre Australia. And we have Karen online. Karen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thank you.
Lovely. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So here we have doctors urge parents to be vigilant with increasing invasive meningococcal disease, infectious, expected early spring. So what do we need to do? And is this disease contagious, and where are we at with it, please, Karen?
Look, it's really important, parents, that you check that your kids have had their vaccination. Really important. Mm. It is early spring. We see a lot of it in children, teenagers especially. It is contagious in the fact that if you're close to someone and they sneeze or they cough, they can pass it on to you. About 20 to 30% of us actually have it without even knowing in the back of our nose and throat, and we can pass it on to somebody. And it's when it invades into the body and it goes to your brain and your spine, that's when you have a real problem.
So tell us more about the disease. Like I said, do we have a cure for it? And can it become fatal?
It can become fatal. About 1 in 10 people will actually die from meningococcal. So it's really important you know all the signs and symptoms. Mm. And if you know those, the sooner you get to the hospital and the sooner you get help and you ask the question, could it be meningococcal, the sooner they can get the antibiotics into you.
Okay.
It is just so important to seek that help.
All right, so here we are, urging. So it comes around at certain times of the year, or is it always about?
You know, we see a lot of it end of winter, early spring, but it can happen to anywhere, anyone, anywhere, any place, any time, yeah.
Sure.
So we have to always be aware, but especially at the moment, we're seeing a lot of it up in the Cairns area.
And when you're saying tetanus needle, that's for everybody. Does that prevent you from catching meningococcal disease thereafter?
Yeah, there is a needle for meningococcal B. And what that does, it helps protect you, just like all those sort of vaccines do. It helps you to prevent you from getting really, really sick.
Sure. And so it's what are the symptoms like when you do catch meningococcal disease?
Well, it can look a little bit like the flu, but the difference is that you keep getting worse and worse every 20 minutes. Mm. So things like a high temperature, vomiting, that you're really tired, and with kids you have difficulty waking them, a sort of a blank staring look, really, really your lights hurt, your eyes hurt to light, cold hands and feet, you don't feel hungry, the kids refuse to eat anything. Babies get like a really horrible high-pitched cry, really loud, and they get a sort of a soft spot or a bump on the top of their head. And, of course, there's the pale and blotchy skin, and that develops into a rash, and it's really serious when it gets to that stage. So if you see your child, they're just really weak and lethargic. If that's happening, just go straight to your doctor or go straight to the hospital and say, could this be meningococcal? Every second counts.
Mm-hmm. So what we need to do to prevent this happening, we're talking about fresh fruit or orange juice or to prevent. I mean, we're just living our life and we don't know what diseases we pick up.
What we see in teenagers is that, you know, they love being really close and personal things. They share everything. They huddle up. So I guess it's remembering a little bit of social distance, not to share, you know, drink bottles and food.
Yeah, okay.
As always, eat healthily and remember to wash your hands and cover your mouth when you cough. They're really quite simple.
Well, it's just like the flu, so it can be caught, sneezing, coughing, whatever, and we're all socialising and playing out there with other people. So it's just about being cautious about covering your mouth and that sort of stuff and doing the right thing in regard to association space.
It really is. And just leaving that little bit of distance for you so the germs can't travel from one person to the next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's contagious, as you're saying, but then that can go throughout the community, then, could it not?
It can go throughout the community, and we have seen in communities where you'll get 3 or 4 cases that will happen.
Yep.
Just because by nature, you know, we love to all have, you know, live closely and we work closely, we play closely. Yeah.
Okay.
But just remembering, like, back in COVID, you know, we just all had to social distance a little bit.
Yep.
And it's... No, probably not as big as what COVID was.
No, but COVID, but the and the actions that our activity, our communication, our association back when COVID-19. Well, we've had a taste of it, so we can sort of step into that mode once again, so to speak, can't we?
Yeah, that's right, and it's just really important, and just little things like just not sharing, you know, your lipsticks, your mouth guards, your food, your whistles. Especially our teenagers and our babies, they love to share everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So just being vigilant as mum or dad and make sure that doesn't happen.
Karen, thank you for shedding light on this sad, increasingly invasive meningococcal disease. Look, fantastic education. This is great. So going across the nation, this beautiful yarn. So thank you for sharing. And look, please do keep in touch. And all the best to you and your team. And we'll talk soon, Karen.
I hope we do. Thanks for that.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Karen Quick is her name, CEO of Meningitis Centre Australia. And all doctors are urging parents to be vigilant with increasing invasive meningococcal disease. Infectious, expected early spring. So just after winter into spring is usually when this disease comes about. So do your bit, your mob, to cover your mouth when you cough. What's the association? If you feel a sneeze coming on or what have you, then do check it out. Check with your doctor as well and even mention the word meningococcal disease. We need to clear it out. This is your daily program, you mob. Have your say and yarn up strong. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumbabib Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, too deadly.
The city lights are driving me so crazy. As I walk the lonely streets of old Tamworth, how I wish that I was back there in the dream time. In the country where there's always peace and quiet. Oh, that I was back in the dream time. Hear the didgeridoo a droning in the night, where robberies are seen by the firelight, far away from the glow of city light. It makes me feel so lonely. For the gum trees and the taste of porcupine, I see my brothers, I see my sisters here in Tamworth, torn apart by government ways and city life.